Hello, I'm Kenny Linden with Radio Free Palmer, and joining me in the studio today is Republican candidate for Alaska Senate District F, Shelley Hughes. Shelley Hughes is the current representative for Alaska House District 11 in the Greater Palmer area. Welcome and thank you for joining us today. We have a few questions that we will go through, and our theme for these questions are the more things change, the faster they change. So we can go ahead and dive right in. Our first question, in Alaska, some Native elders are saying our traditional knowledge is no longer reliable. Describe how you think this is observation applies to politics in Alaska.
Well, first of all, I would say that I'm happy to be here and thank you for this opportunity. It's always good to be able to connect with the folks in the district, and I value that very highly, to be accessible and responsive to the district. So thank you to Radio Free Palmer for that. Principles are unchanging, and I believe that some of what our Native leaders are feeling aren't so much that the principles are changing, but that we have to factor in new information because technology and growth and markets, things like this, really do impact and changes in lifestyle. So all these things have to be factor in, and we can't make assumptions, perhaps like we could when life was a little bit more simple. So, mm-hmm.
And how do you think that applies in what we're currently seeing in the legislature here in Alaska?
Well, I think one of the assumptions that folks mistakenly made is that oil prices wouldn't drop, that they weren't thinking ahead. And I had said a few years back and was really thinking about it about 5 or 6 years ago when I first heard an ICER presentation, that there will be a convergence at one point of a lower amount of oil in taps and low oil prices. I knew that convergence would come. And so I got out there early, maybe earlier before any other legislator, and talked about that we would hit the point where we would have to consider using some of the interest off the permanent fund. And my goal is, like with the ICER goal, is to avoid reducing the PFDs in that process. So that assumption that was way down the road and wouldn't come, I think was one that was a mistake. We also have to be thinking about, might be a bit early to think about what someone might call a post-oil economy. But I think if we're going to be wise, we need to be thinking about how we can diversify. And our natural resource development is always going to be fundamental to us here in Alaska. And we need to move forward with that, but we do need to really think about diversifying other sectors. And so that's a couple incidents where I think the change that is needed as we move forward.
Can you speak a little bit to, you said that you kind of saw the writing on the wall maybe a few years back. Can you speak to what you were doing in the legislature a couple of years ago or 3 years
okay.
ago?
Well, actually, when I very first heard about it was before I was in the legislature. I was doing health policy work. But I was working at times with legislators and folks in D.C. at the federal level as well. So just very aware of the direction and our state and the needs of the people. So in the last couple of years, because I knew that was coming as well, I came out early. I was told it was political suicide to say what I was saying, but I felt like I needed to be honest and forthright with the people. And you know, I have folks that are holding me accountable to be honest and forthright, and so that's what I'm doing. In fact, I told that group when they asked me to run, if I veer from that, it's going to be their job to get somebody to replace me and kick me out. And so far, they haven't decided to do that. So, so I was aware that we were coming to this point. And so in the last few years, knowing that there would be a large gap and knowing that it would be very tempting to go after people's PFDs as an example, I knew that one of the solutions to help close the gap was to bring the budget down. I know you'd need some of that new revenue from the interest earnings, But I also knew that bringing helping close the gap had to do with bringing the budget down. And as an example, South Dakota has a population about 100,000 more than Alaska has. There, our general fund unrestricted spending has been at about $5 billion. We'll round that off. South Dakota's is 1.5. That's a substantial difference. I would never expect ours to be as low as South Dakota. We have a larger state geographically. We have villages off the road system. Our costs are higher. We're considered the end of the line. We're not a pass-through state. So I get it. But, you know, $5 billion, I think if you look at when Tony Knowles exited in 2002, the general unrestricted funding in today's dollars and accounting for population was about $4 billion. So I really see that there's room to bring the budget down so we can avoid burdening families, so we can avoid burdening the small and medium-sized businesses. And I firmly believe it is a fallacy to think you can replace billions and billions in lost oil revenue with money out of the remainder of us out of our pockets and the smaller businesses' pockets. You just can't do it. The math isn't there. And I'm very concerned about that thinking. And to be perfectly honest with you, Kenny, I'm troubled by the sole focus being on making sure that the government is well-funded and can weather what we're facing. I believe that we need to be focused on the families and the private sector and the rest of Alaska to make sure they can weather this. And we have to face the music. We have to readjust the size and scope of government in relationship to what the private sector can afford. And that's a hard thing. That's a challenging thing. But I that's one of the things that we need to be doing. And that's one of the changes as far as the theme of change here that needs to be happening.
You spoke about diversifying resources and possibly diversifying through other sectors. Can mm-hmm. you speak to, because I'm hearing both this idea of cutting from the overall budget and reducing spending, as well as increasing revenues from other places. Are there specific bills that you've proposed in the last few years, or are there specific ideas that you have when it comes to increasing funding to be able to cover the budget shortfall that we're currently seeing?
Right. I think that highly responsible mining is something of minerals is something we haven't tapped to the extent. And there seem to be barriers to that. And we need to move that forward. I know at the Matsu Borough Assembly meeting, they were talking about the rail spur and how that could be key in that sector. And I know there's a lot of controversy about the Susitna-Watonna Dam. And I understand some of these mega projects have to be paused. We do not have the money right now. But, you know, if we can do that project responsibly, if we can make sure the fish are protected, that's low cost energy. And that's the kind of energy that you need for mining. So that is one area. I also think technology is one that we haven't tapped. You know, in the old days, shipping was so expensive. And if, of course, we're not going to, you know, probably build and ship out, for instance, wood stoves or something like that, that'd be heavy and large. But technology today, a lot of the electronics are small, compact. And I believe we could be doing more of that. I was just on the phone with someone who is working on some very high-tech accessories and parts to help with drones, unmanned aircraft systems. And that's here in Alaska. And it's very exciting to me. I've been on the forefront of that industry. We absolutely must protect privacy and safety, but these are tools. And we have a vast amount of land and airspace. It's a great place for research and development, but there's no reason why we can't be doing some value-added processing and manufacturing some of these items. Some have heard me talk about Iceland, you know, similar to Alaska, low population, more challenging weather. And yet they've tapped their geothermal and they are one of the largest producers, which just floors me, of tomatoes, a big supplier to Europe. And I believe we need to be innovative. And they also have IT farms because of the cooler temperatures. These are the kind of things that we need to be thinking out of the box and looking at ways in the private sector that we can move forward. And there's not going to be one magic bullet. But, one of the reasons I know some folks support an income tax, I don't, because I believe that the those that want to be that have the incentive to be productive and innovative, I don't want to be taxing them. We need them more than ever to be able to think out of the box and develop some of these sectors. And I don't want to penalize them. I think we need that kind of creative innovation now more than ever.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to our next question. In your life to date, how have you managed adapting to change?
Boy, well, that's a great question, because I, as a young woman, came up to Alaska and lived in a remote location in Southeast without running water, without electricity, without any of the amenities. We hauled water. I lived in a cabin, a 12 by 12 cabin. My first child was born while I was there. Used cloth diapers back then, I'll say as well, and used a wringer and plunger. Very, very simple. And, you know, I had grown up in my young years in Ohio, and so I lived with amenities. And so, yes, you can make those switch. We lived 5-6 years like that, and have gone through then struggling to go through college and then starting out with very little. In fact, I've told people, you know, I was raising kids, we were technically under the poverty line. And you make those adjustments, and education, of course, is a key to bettering ourselves, and so was able to do that. So I have a lot of faith in and hope for the people of Alaska that we can weather these kind of things, we can work hard, and we can improve ourselves. And, you know, I want to see communities and families prosper. And so, yeah, I can adapt to change. I'm pretty good at it. It's just life. That is life, you know?
Thank you. Our next question. If you consider yourself a conservative, describe the best qualities and achievements of liberals with whom you've worked, or vice versa.
You know, I have one of the interesting things. If you look, I've been somewhat of a bulldog getting bills through. And sometimes I'll get multiple committee assignments, but that doesn't deter me. Sometimes people, when they see all the committee assignments, they like, oh, you know, I won't focus on that one. I'll focus on something else. But I stayed determined, and I'm very proud to say that I have had bipartisan support, I think, on virtually every single bill I have carried. I'd have to double check that. But overwhelmingly, and many unanimous. And so I've enjoyed working with my colleagues across the aisle on things where we find common ground. And one of the things which is a great one is agriculture, because, you know, we are the heart of that here in our area. And everybody needs to eat, right? So it's one of those things where I have worked with some folks on the other side about the aisle in agreement on that. So, I think that those that are liberals on the other side, there are certain things that we can find agreement. You know, and actually, this whole PFD thing, we had Senator Wilikowski and Senator Stoltz on the same page, and we had that same kind of thing happening in the House as well. So I think we saw a lot more of that this session. Now, it may not have come through the media and to the public because it's more sensational, I think, in the media to make it appear that there's a sharp divide. But really, there were a number of major issues that we worked on together, such as Medicaid reform and things like that, where there was a lot of working together. Yeah.
Does that, your experience being a representative in the House, and you've talked about bipartisan support for a lot of the bills that you've worked on, what has your experience been? Because I've also heard that you were a member of the Freedom Caucus as well, that the four-member caucus, and how you expect that experience to change if you were to become elected as a senator and moving into the Senate, which has a different division between either progressives and conservatives or Republicans and Democrats, or looking at the caucus divide. Could you speak to how you think that will change, or how your experience will inform stepping into a senator position?
How it will change from in the House? Well, I feel like I worked quite a bit in the House across the aisle, so I will continue to do that. As far as what will happen in this election cycle, we don't know who will be the majority and who will be the minority. So it's a little hard to talk about that in advance. And I'm not sure I understand your question. You're saying there was the divide in the House, and how will...
Looking at the House makeup currently, there's definitely a majority when it comes to Republican caucusing within the House, as opposed to in the Senate, there's a supermajority. And with a couple of Senate Bush Democrats also caucusing with the Republicans. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how, since you've talked about working across the aisle, that will inform stepping into a different caucusing environment.
You know, I will continue to do the same and work. And in fact, I was trying in the final few weeks to work with Senator Ellis in the House to try to get a hemp definition so that farmers could grow hemp without having to pay the hefty marijuana tax. I mean, I will just continue that kind of working relationship if it's a good policy, if it's a policy that makes sense, you know, to get on board with it. So, I think that's a good thing I would bring to the Senate, actually. I do, again, think the elections will change the dynamics, and we'll see who's actually in and how that comes down.
Great. That segues nicely into, I think, our next question. As a candidate for the state legislature, for our Senate, do you believe that the way the people's business is conducted needs to change? If so, describe a specific way that change can be achieved.
Can you read it again? Just let me think
it
through.
As a candidate for the state legislature, do you believe that the way the people's business is conducted needs to change? If so, describe a specific way that change can be achieved.
You know, one of the things I think we need to communicate better. I think that we maybe haven't done that, and I have tried to do it. And using social media, I stick my neck out there quite a bit, and really try to let people know, because how it is presented in the newspapers and things from folks on the outside gives a glimpse, but it's not always an accurate glimpse. It can be a little out of focus. And so I think that we need to be directly communicating more with the public, because this is a historic time. This is a time where we cannot maintain the status quo in the same time. And what we do will impact every single Alaskan and every single family. And I do have the sense, just based on the hundreds of contacts, I've prided myself in being able to communicate individually with people as they've contacted me. And it's become in the last few months, and particularly in the last few weeks with the PFD issue.
Are you referring to constituents contacting you?
And I hear from folks all around the state. It's my responsibility to really listen hard and put my ear to the ground as far as my district and our area. But because I've lived all over the state and have been responsive, I do hear from other people. I've lived out in Bethel. I've lived in Fort Yukon, Seward, and as I mentioned earlier, in Southeast in Hoonah. So I hear from folks, and that's one of the reasons. I'd just like to say, too, that I was just having a conversation with someone on the phone, and the media presented that the legislature didn't do their work. Well, I just want to let folks to know that we vetted all the tax bills and what the governor brought forward. We did our work. We listened to the people. We're a step closer to the people than someone at the top of the state. And it was very clear. I was hearing from Democrats and Republicans, people of all income and different types of folks. And there was not support in the minority or in the majority for the packages the governor had. There simply wasn't. And so did we do our work? Yes, we vetted and we disagreed with the timing and some of the things being put forward. Now, disagreeing and vetting, we did our work. We didn't pass them. We disagreed. So when one branch disagrees with another branch, to say that branch isn't doing their work, I believe is very disingenuous. Did everything go exactly how I wanted it to go? No, I'm one of 60. And it can be frustrating. For instance, I'm one who felt like to avoid overburdening families and people, we really need to look harder at the budget and bring it down more. We didn't get it down to the point that I want. And I think that work needs to continue, but that's part of the process. We have a constitutional republic and we have representatives working across the state to represent all the different areas and what the Alaskans are thinking. And it is what it is. So, I a lot of hard work. I know I was burning the midnight oil. I'm frustrated like other folks are as far as the fact that the gap is still what it is. I look at it from a slightly different angle. But, you know, it is a blessing in disguise. Some states hit this hard time and they have no savings. We have billions of dollars in savings. The ICER economist said the two worst things we could do this year, number one is do nothing. Number two, do everything at once. And I like Governor Walker and his wife. They're good people. I know they care about this state. We don't agree on all policy, but to do the whole package would have been doing everything at once. I believe it would have thrown our economy into a tailspin. I don't think it was the best for Alaska. And so we need to move through this in stages. And, we are blessed, as I said, with some savings. We don't want to dwindle it down to nothing. I get that. And I also say preserving the PFD by taking half of it and spending it on government is also a message spin. I really believe it's a message spin. The best way to preserve the PFD is to reduce the budget so we're not needing to come after it. And there are wise and careful ways that we can do it. And so that's one of my goals is to protect the wallets of Alaskans and still provide very excellent good services that we need in this state.
Thank you. I'm going to jump ahead to our last question, actually, because I think you touched on this a little bit already, talking about hearing from constituents a lot in the last few weeks, especially. So our question is, what do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience? For example, if your constituents were to overwhelmingly support an income tax, but you personally oppose one, how would you vote and how would you explain your decision to your constituents?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would not be serving in office if there was that much discrepancy between what the majority of voters want and where my positions. And because I am constantly interacting and hearing from constituents, I'm really getting a sense of what the majority and often it's the vast majority are saying. For instance, what we're hearing is reduce the budget first substantially. And then if there's still a gap, what I'm hearing most from this area is sales tax and income tax last, for instance. Well, that's very much in line with where I sit. So I've not encountered yet where there is a discrepancy, and I don't believe that there would be because I'm so frank and out there about what I think. And if I said something and people disagreed, I would work through it with my voters so that we'd either come to an agreement and I'd vote my conscience because I'm not going to vote against my conscience, but my conscience is going to agree with the voter. So I don't know if that makes sense. I don't mean to be dodging the question,
yeah,
but
no.
I've experienced this mm-hmm. for 4 years and I believe it, in my heart that this is how it's going to work. If someone is in office and they're not being honest about where they stand and when they campaign, they aren't real with people, I suppose that could happen, but I don't see it mm-hmm. as something that's going to be happening in the shoes I'm wearing.
I wonder about that specifically because I know that came up quite often last year with Medicaid expansion. And since you had talked about hearing from not only constituents here in Palmer, but also hearing constituents from around the state, that we were seeing polls after polls come out that the majority of Alaskans supported Medicaid expansion. And I know you got up on the House floor and spoke against Medicaid expansion and said that it's not the government's place to be kind, that it's the place of people to be kind and for churches to step up for Medicaid expansion. And so I'm wondering if that was something that you experienced as a conflict.
Well, actually, the polls weren't accurate. And I want to tell you that the polls were saying that there was support for the PFD restructuring. And Ivan Moore had a poll middle June saying 55% were against. And if that poll were to be redone again now that the action has actually been taken, I'm guessing it'd be 65-70%. So, and one of the things we asked about the poll, it was turning out that some of these polls that were being done, that there were only 5 people in a House district being asked. So Medicaid expansion, was there full support? Was there overwhelming support? I don't believe that there was. I don't believe that the poll was accurate. And just like the PFD poll was not accurate. And based on the, what I was receiving and hearing from people, it was not what were the polls were. And I don't know if they interviewed 5 people or 10 people in the House district. I don't know exactly with that poll, but I don't think it was reflective based on what I was hearing. So I do not feel like I went against the will of the district. And if I did, if I did, a Republican will not win this coming election in this area then. I mean, if that's the case, I think that is the case. And, my concern is we need to be able to care for the truly vulnerable, the seniors, the children and disabled. That is what, those are the ones that are counting on us. And my concern is when you add able-bodied working age adults and you're stretching resources, I'm very concerned about pulling those away from the truly vulnerable, the seniors, the children, the disabled. And I've worked in health policy long enough to know how it works. And you have to be very, very careful with that. And with the limited resources that we have, that is more important than ever. And for me, it was very much too, as far as a separation of powers, I'm really into the each branch of government having certain roles and responsibilities. So executive orders should be reserved for very short-term, urgent type needs, not long-term policy that is in the millions or actually the billions of dollars.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We're actually out of time. It went by really, really quickly. But again, I'm Kenny Linden with Radio Free Palmer, and we were joined here in the studio with Representative Shelley Hughes, who is running for Alaska Senate District F. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you for allowing me to come in. It was a good conversation. And I just want to mention to voters, my website is alaskansforhughes.com. My cell number is 841-1634. I have an open door policy. I enjoy speaking with people that disagree with me. I learn from them. And I take all those concerns into account in the end, and that's what it's about. So I believe I can hit the ground running day one. I think that's important considering the juncture where we stand. You don't have time to bring somebody up to speed. I look forward to the support of the folks in the District F. I've been here 26 years. I have family from end to end of the district, so believe that I'm the best fit for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.